All right. Welcome to Coffee with Marcus and Mark, the number one stock market show on Spotify and one of the most popular market updates on YouTube. In this show, we talk about what's happening in the markets and how we're trading them. The Dow has its best week since March. The Fed goes dark. All eyes on earnings. Tesla jumps. We'll look at why. Yelp soars. What to expect this week? Plus, we'll take a look at a trade that I took late Friday that still might be available today. As you can see, there's a lot to talk about, so let's go ahead and get started. If this is your first time here, my name is Mark Hodge. I'm head coach at Rockwell Trading. Now, on most days, I'm joined by Marcus Heitkotter, Rockwell Trading's founder, but as if you've been following along for the last couple of weeks, you know that he's on an epic road trip with his daughter as she prepares to embark on college or towards college, on college, something like that. She's going to college. She's leaving the nest. She's doing her thing. She's getting older, and Marcus wants to spend a little time with her this summer. Sorry, I'm all over the place. It's Monday. Had a wonderful weekend. I hope you did too. Anyway, gosh, long story short, I'm running this show solo. And I promise that you're in good hands, that you have come to the right place. We know a lot about trading here at Rockwell Trading. We have decades of experience. We know our stuff. We're not afraid to tell it like it is. And if you're looking into some honest insight into the world of trading, then you are where you should be. Now, before we dive in and show you our trades and how we're tackling these crazy, crazy markets, let's take a look at what's moving the markets today. Hopefully the rest here is better than that intro. Stocks took a breather on Monday, but wow, what a week. Here I have a weekly chart of the S&P 500, the S&P up 2.4%. What a week. Now, this was a little bit overshadowed by the week that we saw in June where the S&P was up 2.6%. It looked like before the small dip that we had on Friday that we're going to see the best week since March in the S&P, also the NASDAQ. On the other hand, the Dow did have its best week since March. Here we see the Dow up 2.3% last week, and the NASDAQ also an impressive week, up 3.3% for the week. Strong week overall for the indices. Although Friday, a little bit mixed, the NASDAQ slightly lower, the S&P slightly lower as well. And the Dow up 5 days straight. Look at this winning streak for the Dow. Positive Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Also looking to carry over a little bit of its gains and higher today as well. So we might be on a six-day win streak for the Dow. Not too shabby there. The S&P closing above its significant 4,500 level. Round numbers can act as psychological support and resistance. We see this taking place all the time, especially in commodities and some stocks, but definitely the indices as well. I mean, you know, just think about it. If you're trying to figure out the next level that the S&P might trade at, are you going to say 4,812 and a half? Or are you going to say 4,800? Right? So these numbers end up being psychological support and resistance levels. And we see here that really we're not too far away from record highs that we had in January of 2022. Before we started the day, just a little less than 7% away from record highs. S&P having a great year and looks like a little follow through today. Although it's been a pretty quiet day, kicking off the session slightly higher, going sideways, and then drifting sideways again after a little bit of a push higher around 10 Eastern time. And this really isn't a surprise because there isn't a whole lot of news or anything to move the market today. Although this week, it's all about earnings. So some big earnings reports were kicking off earnings season. Friday, we had big banks reporting. This week, if we take a look at the economic calendar here, there really isn't a whole lot going on. We do have retail sales coming out tomorrow at 5:30. Other than that, the next red flag report is unemployment claims, 5:30 a.m. Pacific, 8:30 Eastern on Thursday. So not a whole lot on the economic calendar. It is going to be all about earnings. And then also traders are taking into consideration next week and what's on the economic calendar. Because next week we have the Fed. This week they go into their blackout period where they're not allowed to talk and discuss Fed policy because of the two-day policy meeting that will take place next week, Tuesday and Wednesday, wrapping things up Wednesday with the Fed statement followed by the press conference. So this is really in the spotlight in addition to earnings. So earnings really the big market mover potentially this week, and then the Fed next week with their statement. If we look at the CME FedWatch tool, we see here that 96.1% probability that the Fed will raise rates a quarter point. So this is absolutely 100%, well, 96.1% priced into the market. That's what traders expect. That's what the Fed has essentially said. Now, the Fed has also said, hey, we're not done raising. We still have more work to do. We are going to be taking data into consideration to use data, make our decisions based on data. But they also said we pretty much expect another half point on the table, a quarter point at this meeting, and then maybe another quarter point. But traders say, hey, not so fast. Based on the data, we don't think that's going to happen. Now, they were saying this before the data that we had last week with inflation coming out, showing that right now inflation is calming down. Based on probabilities, though, traders are saying that the Fed will raise in July and stop raising, and that will be the end. Then they will cut in March, although the January probabilities are pretty mixed here. 34.2% probability they'll cut by a quarter point, 43.3% probability they will keep rates the same. We'll have to see, but bottom line, the Fed next week is going to drive this, you know, chart and probabilities here once we have some more insight into the Fed's decision and what their intentions are for monetary policy. So with that said, let's quickly go back to PowerX Optimizer, look at the heat map, see what's going on in the markets overall. And we see that markets are mixed, green in tech, green in financial services. Other than that, kind of mixed across the board here. Looks like a little weakness in healthcare right now, weakness in utilities, a little bit mixed in energy, slightly higher or a little bit mixed. So kind of a mixed market, even though we are positive right now with the S&P up 0.2%, the Dow up 0.1%, and the NASDAQ leading the way with a 0.5% gain. So a little bit all over the place. Crude oil was down a little bit more early on, but has drifted higher, getting back up towards $75 a barrel, down 0.75% right now. Looks like we could finish lower for the second day in a row in crude oil after breaking through the $77 a barrel price on Thursday. So pulling back a little bit from those levels. And we mentioned that this week is all about earnings. If we take a look at this is provided by Earnings Whispers. We see that it was really a quiet Monday. Typically, Mondays and Fridays are quiet for earnings. And then a majority of the releases come Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. So tomorrow, we have Bank of America before the open, Schwab before the open, Morgan Stanley before the open, PNC. Both Marcus and I have a position in PNC. So interested to see what PNC reports before the open. We have a few others, but moving on to Wednesday, Goldman Sachs before the open. We also have Tesla after the close, United after the close, IBM after the close. And then on Thursday, American Airlines, so more airlines, Capital One. On Friday, we have American Express. So overall, a pretty active earnings calendar, a lot going on. And that will be the focus this week. Now, earnings, FactSet has reported that based on analyst forecast, earnings are expected to be down 7%. However, it's all about whether or not future guidance improves. And then also, are we going to beat that 7% expectation, that 7% drop? in earnings. You never know. And so we could have a very interesting earnings season, definitely starting to get underway. And that's the driver for this week. Now let's look at a couple of market movers before I share a position that I entered on Friday and some of our mastermind traders took this morning. So look at Tesla here. Tesla jumping out of the gates here, up 2% pre-market, I believe, but has pulled back since. 285.12, up 1.3%. Now Tesla does report earnings on Wednesday, but Tesla announcing in a tweet on Saturday that they have built their first Cybertruck at Gigafactory, Texas. So the Cybertruck, as you might know, was unveiled in 2019. It's been a long time coming, that futuristic truck that, I'll be honest, when I first saw the truck, I thought, this is the stupidest looking thing I've ever wanted, right? Where at first, I thought it was just this crazy Mad Max looking thing, and I wasn't quite sure where they were going there. And then like 10 minutes later, I thought, you know what, this is pretty sweet. So we'll see what other consumers think about the truck and if it will live up to its expectations. Bulletproof glass, sleek design, spacious area inside, and kind of a work play combo. We'll see, but that thing, first built truck, Cybertruck at Gigafactory, Texas, and some traders getting excited about the prospects there. They did delay things after an issue with sourcing components, they said. So up a little bit pre-market and still higher for the session, up 1.4%. Tesla earnings on Wednesday. Now, another market mover here. Let's look at Yelp. Yelp going crazy today, opening at $40 a share, now up $42.05. That's up over 10% if you look at a percentage basis. This puts Yelp at levels that we haven't seen since fall of 2021. So Yelp, with this range in 2022 and also this year around $26 a share up to $39-ish, gapping higher, opening strong at levels that we hadn't seen since 2021 and continuing to rise. Now, Yelp was upgraded. So Goldman Sachs analyst Eric Sheridan upgraded the stock from neutral to buy, but a little bit late with its coverage because the last update on Yelp was a price target of $9. And he upgraded this from $9 to $47. So that, based on Friday's close, priced in a 23% increase in Yelp. Traders seem to like the idea and agreed, getting part of the way there. Now, he said that this was due to stable rising local advertising trends, an analysis of the incremental margin opportunity and the potential for stable increased shareholder returns in the years ahead. Trader is saying, screw years ahead, we'll go with just a day, up 10%. So nice move in Yelp. And for anybody holding Yelp, definitely getting some profits on that one. We'll see if it will continue. Another one that actually seemed to be on the move and then not so much, Chewy, was up initially pre-market. Pulling back a little bit. It was up pre-market and opened higher, but now just flat for the session. This popped also by a Goldman Sachs upgrade from neutral to buy. Goldman Sachs saying Chewy has an attractive risk-reward profile and could see margins expand, but now just still stuck in this nasty little range here. Chewy not doing a whole lot, even though getting some initial attention at the open. Now, let's go over to PowerX Optimizer and talk trades. Let me go over to my wheel analyzer here. And I am still in PNC. As mentioned earlier, PNC earnings tomorrow. So we'll see if earnings can help PNC rally higher. I'm still looking at potentially selling calls at 136. There was an opportunity to do that last week. I know some traders did. I right now have not sold calls, so I just own shares. Going ex dividend on Friday, so I'll get paid $1.55 a share on August 5th for that dividend. So two nice dividends there for PNC, and waiting for earnings. Now my MRO trade, this is where last week or the year before, the week before, I think it was, sold the 22 put, and then on Friday that went ahead and expired worthless. I was keeping an eye on some oil and gas here because we had Oxy, not quite at a strike that I wanted, but following up with Friday's drop, this was something I was looking at. Also, SU, not quite where I wanted to be strike-wise, but decent after Friday's drop. And then, you know, going back to MRO, I sold the 22 before, 23.50. I don't see strong support there, so not interested. So that really wasn't for me. However, on Friday, with the move lower on Friday, CSIQ, I was able to sell the 35 put for 23 cents. So that was 30% annualized based on the holding period to this Friday's expiration and the credit received. So that worked for me. I got filled like going right into the close here on Friday at 35 strike. In our mastermind call, we were looking at it again today. The same put, bid 15, offer 20. Some traders were able to get 20 cents. Marcus actually had an order in at 20 cents. Other traders decided, hey, you know what? I like my 15 cents because that was still 30% annualized for the week. Marcus was not filled on this one. We started to turn around and rally. Right now, CSIQ up 3.6%. So some decent volatility in CSIQ right now. Friday down 3.4%. Today up 3.6%. A lot of movement, still like the 35 strike, some nice volatility, nice ranges for a market that's quiet overall. This one seems to be a pretty nice wheel trade. CTRA, mentioned Marcus's CTRA position. And on Friday, looking to roll, but there just wasn't enough premium available with CTRA. So Marcus decided to let this one go, let the call go, that is, and selling the 26 call. It meant that if CTRA closed above 26 a share, his shares would be called away. If CTRA closed below 26 a share, he would still be the proud owner of those shares. And the latter occurred, down 3.7% on Friday, closing at 25.47. So Marcus still owns CTRA shares, looking to sell 26 calls with the pullback that we saw on Friday. Not possible to sell 26 calls, but this is on his watch list for this week as an owner of CTRA, looking to sell calls at 26 or higher. Now, just a quick earnings analysis of PNC. Let's see what's going on with PNC. And I'm in a position right now with PNC where I would continue to hold based on where we're at in most situations, no matter what. But this is where the earnings analysis tool, if I was on the fence, or maybe I was slightly positive on the trade, and I was trying to decide whether or not I should stay with the trade, take on a little extra risk, because we never know what's going to happen with earnings, right? Even though we have this past data, it could be that there's a horrible earnings report, or a great earnings report, or more significantly, more importantly, the reaction to earnings, right? Because there are many times where you have a fantastic earnings report, but the stock sells off, traders are taking profits. And here, it seems like we have some mixed information, but I like what I see. So earnings beats 9 out of 11. We don't have one here. Beating 9 out of the last 11 quarters. And then the overnight price move tends to be negative. So 5 out of 7 quarters were up. 7 quarters were 7 out of 12 were 7 out of 12 were down. Hold on. Let's regroup. The overnight price move. 5 out of 12 quarters were positive and on average up 1%, let's say. On those down moves, so 7 out of 12 quarters down and down 2.4%. So the overnight reaction tends to be negative, even though PNC tends to beat earnings. And then on the seventh day here, 8 out of 12 quarters positive on the seventh day, on average up 4.3%, 4.4%. On the four quarters that were negative, down on the seventh day, 4 out of 12 quarters down on average 5.6%. So if we take this data and we try to derive an expectation here, my guess is we'll beat earnings. The reaction will be negative, and on the seventh day will be positive. Now, I would love for the opposite, well, not the opposite, but one of these metrics here, one of these data points to actually be incorrect based on past data. I would love for the overnight reaction to be positive and on the seventh day positive. But out of these two, I'd rather have the seventh day being positive, right? Because that tends to show that, hey, traders might be taking profits, or maybe there's a little bit of a negative reaction at first, but then the long-term trend starts to move higher. And that's what I want with PNC. I'll take another 4.3% increase. I mean, that gets me up nicely right near my cost basis at 136. Not quite there, but close enough to be selling calls. I'll take that if this theme and pattern continues. So this is what I'm looking at for PNC. Would love to see an earnings beat and positive reaction, and then the ability to sell calls. And we'll see what happens with CSIQ. So if you like the video, please give it a thumbs up. If you're new to the channel, please subscribe. We'll see you back here tomorrow taking a look at PNC's, looking at that reaction, seeing if I had an opportunity to sell calls or not. And until then, happy trading, everybody.